Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In our world today, mercy is a funny thing. On the one hand, people are sometimes very merciful. Think of the outpourings of mercy we see after disasters these days. People are eager to help and open their hearts and their wallets and often give of their time to help. But on the other hand, mercy is also sometimes in very short supply. When someone comes back looking for help one time too many, or if they make the same mistake again, or when we think they've made their bed, now they can sleep in it. So it seems that mercy is for those who have had something that happens to them that they didn't deserve, like a tornado or a bombing, but not for those who are getting what they deserve, like after they've sinned or just been plain stupid. I think that's maybe why folks, even Christians, sometimes have a problem with God's mercy. It's bigger than ours. We want God to be merciful to those who we think deserve it, and we like it when He is. But when He is merciful to those who we think don't deserve it, that's when our britches start getting in a bind, isn't it? Especially if you think you're being slighted in the mercy department and things aren't going so well for you, but God is being so good to her, to that sinful woman. Welcome to God's kind of mercy, Simon, and all you Simons. Mercy for all. Mercy without limit. Mercy that is bigger than we can imagine. For it is mercy not linked to deserving, but true mercy. Mercy that makes no distinction between deserving and undeserving, between big sinner and little sinner, but is true mercy. Here for all, mercy. Here for you, mercy. For if Nathan were here today, David's prophet Nathan, his finger would be pointing at you. You are the man, he would say. You are the woman. For he would want you to know and receive God's mercy too. For you see, to understand God's mercy, we must first understand how deep our sin. How deep, deep. How all the way down, deep. How hopeless, deep. How sinful woman, deep. And confess not only that we have made some mistakes, and after all, everyone makes mistakes. That's too easy. The truth is, we haven't just made mistakes. We've rebelled. We haven't merely tripped up, we've committed treason. For we haven't just sinned against others, we've sinned against the God of all. The God of the universe, the creator of all things, the Almighty. Enthroning ourselves and our wants and our desires and our thoughts of what should and shouldn't be. And dethroning God in our hearts. And not just once, but over and over again. Like David, one sin leading to another, leading to another. And how often we too, instead of repenting, try to cover it up or get away with it. And yes, we do that. You do that. One way is to make excuses for our sin. Another way is to try to hide it like David. But maybe the biggest way today is called the religion of self-improvement. This is the church of, I just need a little help, a boost of spiritual strength, some good advice or coaching on how to live, and then I'll be able to do it, to turn myself around to do better. That kind of religion is very popular in our day and age today. The airwaves are full of that kind of spirituality. But to paraphrase what Paul was telling us today when he said, if I rebuild what I tore down, I show myself a transgressor. To paraphrase that, if I re-glue back together the mug that I broke, it still isn't much good, is it? It may be improved and it may look better, but it's still broke. And I am still a breaker, a lawbreaker. No, coaching and advice is not what we need. We know how we should live. The problem is we don't. The problem is we're broken. And we don't need gluing. We need forgiveness. We need to be made new. We need mercy. Simon was a gluer. David was a gluer. The sinful woman, on the other hand, knew there wasn't enough glue in all the world to fix her. How about you? Now enter Jesus, the merciful. His presence in the world is for mercy. His presence in Simon's house that day is for mercy. His presence here today is for mercy. To show mercy in exposing our sin and bringing us to our knees in repentance. But to show mercy also in forgiving, especially those no one else would forgive. To show mercy to us all. True mercy. Mercy undeserved. Mercy that does not stop. That, in fact, is King David's mercy. How deep, deep was his sin. Yet in mercy, God not only sent Nathan to expose his sin, bring David to his knees, and give forgiveness, but to mercifully keep David in his mercy. For if David fell so far and so hard while things were good, then God in mercy sends strife to David to keep him in his mercy. The sword shall not depart from David's house, and the son born to him shall die. Those are not punishments for David's sin, which is how we often think of them. When Nathan spoke the word of the Lord to David and said to him, God has put away your sin, he meant it. The sin was forgiven, gone, done. The rest is mercy. To keep David from sin. To keep David in repentance. To keep David relying on God. To keep David in God. Earthly hardship for eternal gain. A trade worth making. But not only that, for in these words to David, we hear of an even bigger mercy of God. Because the Son of David, who would die for David's sin, was not ultimately the Son of David born to Bathsheba. But the Son of David born to the Virgin Mary. Remember all those folks we hear about in the Bible crying out to Jesus for help? What do they often cry out? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. For Jesus is not only the promised Son of David who will rule His people and help His people and sit on the throne forever. Jesus is the promised Son of David who would die not only for David's sin, but for the sin of all the world. For sinful men and women of all times and places. For sinful you and me. So while Nathan spoke the word of God to David, which said, "You are the man," the sinner, the one deserving death, Jesus speaks this word of God to all people, saying, "I am the man. I am the man who came down from heaven and became the man. I am the man who takes your sin off of you and puts it on myself in your place. I am the man who became a curse for you. I am the man who came to be broken and die in your place. I am the man to die for you, that you rise with me, that you be not just an improved sinner, but a new creation, that you not just be stronger, but set free from sin, death, and devil, that you be set free to live and to love." And in your baptism, that's exactly what happened. All that Jesus did for you became yours, given to you. God put away your sin, putting it on the Son of David on the cross. And those words spoken to David, and those words spoken to the sinful woman, were spoken to you. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. And we go, mercied, forgiven, new, to live a new life. For what do you think that sinful woman was doing after she had been forgiven? Continue in her sin? Go back to the way things were as if nothing had happened? Or love and mercy and forgive others as she had been. That's a new life set free. The burden of her reputation undoubtedly stuck with her, but was now simply a merciful opportunity to speak of Jesus and His mercy, forgiveness, and love. And so now you too, for you too have been forgiven much. And as we in turn care for others, as Jesus said, we are doing it unto Him. Not separating ourselves from sinners like Simon, but taking our place with them like Jesus. And while that may not get us invited to many dinner parties today of the high and rich and powerful that have other opinions of such mercy, that's okay. For you have been invited to another feast, a greater feast, a mercy feast, where you don't have to sneak in like the sinful woman. You're the guest of honor. And you're not the one washing feet like the sinful women. It is your feet that are being washed by your host, your Savior, serving you and washing you not with water, but with the blood that flowed from Him. and with tears in his eyes. So happy he is that you are here to eat his body and drink his blood, to receive his forgiveness and be given his life. That's the mercy of Jesus, the Son of David, the Son of God. That's mercy that never ends. Mercy bigger and greater than we can imagine. The mercy of God who lowers himself to us to raise us to him. To us. Us sinners, us Davids, us sinful women, us Simons. Today his mercy calls us to wash away our sins. Yes, for he has come here to our house, our church, to mercy us, that we be sinful no more, that we now go filled with his peace, that we now go filled with his mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.